Well, good evening.
Good evening.
It's been a joy being with you. We have to leave. And we're on our way to North Carolina. And there's my wife. Keep your hand up real high. She doesn't like when I do that. After 34 years, who cares? We're having the time of our life, gang. We pastored for about 30 years. I started traveling some in 9, and long story short, we're full-time, so we resigned the church after 21 years that we started, our second church. And January, we were full-time with a ministry called Dan Bohai Ministries Association, and you can look at it on the web, and you'll see there's teams all over the United States. Our ministry is a global, international ministry. We're one of several teams that travel full-time. And so we have some stuff back there, some cards. If you want to pray for us, we'd love that. And if you want to keep in contact, email me, call me. Anyway, fall back here. Pray for us. We've been in like 19 states since the beginning of the year. And we traveled in an RV with a 13-pound miniature dachshund. And I guess we weren't allowed to have dogs here. We found that out too late, and they shot it. It's not true. And this is the first time I met this dude. He's all right, isn't he? You guys like him? Yeah. I think I like him. So anyway, I've lived in Columbus my whole life, and I never knew this camp was here. And it's just amazing that it. Anyway, so I love this. Had a great time. Thanks for being nice. You guys are even teens. They're nice to me. So anyway, So we got that transformation. Is that ready to go on the side screen? Can we put that up there? I want you to look at this. So one more time, this was George Otis Jr. This is how he defines transformation. He says, it's a neighborhood, a city, or a region whose values and institutions have been overrun by the grace and the presence of God. Divine fire has not only been summoned, but it has fallen. Therefore, now look at this, the entire area has been disrupted by the invasive supernatural power of God, and the culture has been impacted undeniably by the full measure of the kingdom of God. Keep that part up there for a moment. Now check this out. So if revival truly happens in a church, revival, I'm not talking about some good services. I'm not against good services. I don't want a bad service. Right? I've been in some of those. I'm talking a revival. A true, authentic outpouring of the manifest presence of God's glory. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you know there's a difference between the omnipresence and the manifest presence? Come on, the online's everywhere. He's here, he's at Walmart, he's not in Cleveland. But anyway, he's everywhere. He's online. Online is everywhere. But then you have John 14, verse 21, that says he revealed or manifest himself to those he loves. And what does the word manifest mean? It's the intensity of his presence. So he's here because we carry his presence. We don't have to do anything to get into his presence. I was doing a meeting one time and the worship leader said, let's all gather around the front and get into the presence. I thought to myself, I never got out of here. I'm in him. I'm always with him. You see, I don't have to do anything to work it up. However, there is an intense, manifest
awareness of His presence that comes into a room. My prayer every time we gather, my prayer today is that the intense manifest presence of God's glory would show up in this tabernacle. And if it would, my guess is most of us would not be sitting. When the glory fell, when they were dedicating the temple, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, it says their face hit the ground. I'm telling you, if the glory came into this room, it would change our posture. When I travel, do meetings, gang, I tell you, I am hungry for the waiting presence of God's glory. These kids, if the church does not give these kids an authentic demonstration of the manifest presence of God's glory, they're checked out. They're done. You know what? You know what? The 20-somethings have left the church because they're just frankly bored. But if kids like this would see the waiting presence of God's glory move in, signs, miracles, and wonders, and healings, and the outpouring of God's glory, I promise you they would come by the throes. There wouldn't be room in this place. They'd sit out on the outside. The people all over this district would come if the waiting presence of God's glory manifested in signs, miracles, and wonders. And that's part and parcel to the gospel. You can understand. I'm not chasing that. I'm chasing Him. But if we get Him, we get all of that.
Amen.
And gang, that's we owe it to this generation. We owe it to the children over there wherever they are. We owe it for them to have encounters with the waiting presence of God's glory. We owe it to generations coming, not to give them boring, dead, stale religion. And it's the only thing, now listen, it's the only thing that will not just change a church, but it's the only thing that will change a city. It's the waiting presence of God's glory. It's the supernatural, the invasive, I love that, supernatural power of God's glory that moves in and through a group of people who are consecrated to God, and it begins to literally touch a city and shape nations. I was telling Brother Ed, I believe, Rhonda Huey, who wrote the book Desperate for His Presence, says, I believe, I might be misquoting her, but when we were chatting one time, I believe she said, there are 2,000 world areas now experiencing transformation, and even a few in the United States. Places like Hope, Kentucky, and Hazy Hollow, Texas, and Evansville, Indiana. Places across the United States where cities are starting to be shaped. The culture is being shaped by the dynamic outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Even as I talk about that, I'm serious. How many are hungry for something like that? Seriously, put your hand up. I really want to see tonight. I want you to get hungry. Hungrier. For these types of moves and outpourings of God's glory. Gang, listen, if it doesn't happen, we're a dying breed. Nothing's going to shape our nation. Nothing's going to change the trajectory of our culture if we don't have an outpouring of God's glory.
Amen.
Nothing's going to do it. It's not going to come out of the White House. It's going to come out of believers like you and me who are flat on our face crying out for the waiting presence of God's glory to move in our churches and in our cities and across our nation. We need an outpouring of God's glory.
Yeah.
We've got to have it. We've got to have it.
Yeah.
Left without that, gang, we have nothing. Maybe some hollow, stale, nostalgic stuff, but I'm not interested in that. I want an authentic outpouring of God's glory. I want this right there. I want the culture to be impacted undeniably by the kingdom that Jesus said in Luke 11:2, pray for it to come.
Yes.
We need the power, the supernatural power. I got a couple of passages I want you to look at tonight, and you can go to it. I think we'll get to Ephesians 5, but let's start in Acts 13. So I think we'll end in Ephesians 5, but let's start in Acts 13. The reason why I like Acts 13 is it's really the genesis of Paul's ministry, certainly of Barnabas, but his name was Saul, that later changed to Paul in chapter 13. But it was the genesis of not just ministry into the Jews, but really it kind of left the Jews because they didn't like Paul. And so he started ministering to Gentiles. And at the end of chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, near the end of it, look at like verse 49. So this is Acts 13, verse 49. And here's what it says. It says, and the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. Now, again, Paul and Barnabas, at the beginning of Acts 13, they were praying and ministering to the Lord. The Holy Spirit came and spoke and said, set apart Barnabas and Saul and send them out. And so they were launched. And so they started ministering to Jews. And the Jews, again, shut them down. And so they said, well, fine, we're going to minister to the Gentiles. And so you have this massive outpouring of God's Spirit amongst Gentiles. And so the word of God is actually spreading. Verse 50 says, but Jews incited the devout women of prominence and of leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas. And you need to know that the moment you set your mind to transformation, the moment you say we're going to take our city for God, the moment you say we're going to begin to blitz our community with the power and the presence of God, you need to understand that there's going to be enemy coming against you, and there is going to be persecution, and there is going to be opposition. You need to know that. Don't ever be surprised. We go into churches, and I'll say to pastors and leaders, listen, are you willing to pay the price for revival? Because there is a price to pay.
Amen.
And when you begin to truly take back territory from the enemy is going to launch a war against you. Now, I don't think we need to be afraid or intimidated because the enemy has lost. Nonetheless, we battle not against flesh and blood, Paul says in Ephesians 6, but we battle against principalities, powers, and dominions in dark worlds.
Amen.
And that's essentially what's going on here. A persecution breaks out against Paul, Barnabas. Verse 51, they shake the dust off, which is not out of an attitude. It's just, we're not going to be offended, which I wish all of us lived that way. Don't ever get offended. There's so many people offended these days. Just choose not to ever be offended. Amen.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if someone likes you, takes you off Facebook, I'm not your friend anymore, or they didn't invite me to go to lunch, or they don't like me, or they didn't call me. Who gives a rip? Don't live offended by anyone or anything.
Right.
Amen, Rob. Thank you, Rob. Come on. Don't be offended. That's all that means. Just shake the dust off. But here's the verse I want you to see. Look at verse 52. Verse 52, again, reading from the NASB because it reads grammatically correct. It says, and the disciples, and here's the key, watch this, were continually filled. Everyone say continually filled. They were, listen, continually filled. Guys, hear this. Continually filled. I don't know how this messes with our theology of I've been saved and I've been sanctified. That wasn't even in their language. Not saying that that's not necessary or imperative. It is. But if all that you experience is being saved and being sanctified, and that's it, something's wrong.
Amen.
Paul didn't say, he didn't say, and they were saved and sanctified. Well, that's wonderful. Here's what it says. And they were continually filled.
Yes.
Continually filled. Continually filled. Oh, let me say it again. Continually filled.
Amen.
With joy. That's the essence of the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. They were continually filled with joy. I love being in an atmosphere where we're filled with joy. I talk to a lot of people, I'm filled with joy. I tell your face. Joy. People who are filled with joy are impervious to any type of conflict. Because joy is their strength. They know no bounds. They never stop. They're never quitters. These guys, listen, were continually filled with joy and, are you ready? The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we only got the Holy Spirit once. Well, this kind of jacks with that. They were continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And I heard some funny stuff. Well, we leak, and that's why we need more. I don't know if I buy that. What I believe is that the carrying capacity of our heart expands as we deepen and press in to the manifest presence of God's glory. I believe that we can carry a greater level of anointing if we keep pressing in for more and increase of the Spirit. I believe the anointing that we carry, if we steward it correctly and appropriately, that we can carry a greater level of anointing if we keep pressing in, gang. Come on. And this was at the genesis of their ministry. My point being is that they continually were filled with joy and continually expanding in the outpouring of the Spirit. Now, we won't turn. Just want to quote these. Write this down. I want you to look at this contrast. The contrast with Paul in his ministry. Okay. The first one is Acts 19. Now this is roughly 20 years after Pentecost. 20 years after the promise of the Spirit was distributed upon the Church of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2. The essence of the covenant. The Holy Spirit was poured out. You know that, the day of Pentecost. Really, what we would say, the true birthday of the Church of Jesus Christ. 20 years after Pentecost, Paul comes to the city of Ephesus on his journeys. As he lands and starts walking through Ephesus, he comes across 12 guys, and they're disciples. First question out of Paul's mouth ought to be the first question out of our mouth. First thing Paul asked these 12 guys is, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now, I think that's a great question. I don't think we ought to ask someone what their pedigree is, what their name is, who their daddy is, what school they graduated from, what degrees they have, what church they pastor, how big it is, and how much their annual income is. I think we ought to ask one central question. Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life and ministry? Because there's the central question. No one gets a rip about anything else, man. You're not going to see transformation in your ministry if your doctor this or Mrs. that or whatever, or your daddy did this. You're only going to see transformation if you move and operate in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the central question out of Paul's mouth was to these 12 guys, hey boys, do you guys have the Holy Spirit? What a question. I think that's what we've got to ask people. Not what church they go to, who their pastor. Do you, kids, do you have the Holy Spirit? It's a real question. Now these guys answer. Are you ready? We haven't even heard that there was one. I've been in some churches. Not too many, because they don't call us. But I've been in a few churches. Why start talking about the Holy Spirit? And I get blank stares on the face. As if they're looking at me, you mean to tell me there's a Holy Spirit? Well, let me just say, there is a Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let me say that again, because some of you don't seem convinced. There is a Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The third person of the Trinity,
yes,
who's with us tonight, and wants to fill us. Paul says, well then, into what have you been baptized? This is 20 years after Pentecost, dudes. What is going on here? What have you been baptized in? Here's what they say. John the Baptist. I just see a red spot on Paul's head as he takes the palm of his hand and smacks it in his own head and says, you've got to be kidding me. John the Baptist? That dude was old covenant. Now watch this. 20 years after Pentecost, in the new covenant, you got 12 guys who are operating in the new covenant with an old covenant mindset. Because they have not yet been introduced to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. What a tragedy. To try to function in ministry without the power and the presence of the Spirit. Amen. And so Paul introduces them to Jesus Christ, upon which they were baptized, and then they received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yeah. That kind of messes up our two works theology, because they were born again, as we would say, and filled with the Spirit in one moment, and anyway, just get whatever you got to get, and get it however you got to get it.
Right.
Something to that effect. All right. Now that's a tragedy to a point. In other words, there are those that don't realize what they're missing. And when they're introduced to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we've seen people across the nation. Listen, 20% of our meetings right now are in United Methodist churches. And there's a generation of Methodists that we're ministering to that, honestly, I'm not being funny, they don't know the reality of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And they're receiving fresh baptisms of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's Baptists and Lutherans and Presbyterians that are receiving outpourings of the Holy Spirit because their theology did not embrace some of that stuff, and they grew up in churches where they really didn't hear about the ongoing activity and the revelatory gifts of the Spirit, and they're receiving touches from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. But now, as bad as that is, contrast that with the second story in Paul's ministry. And again, you don't need to turn, I'll just quote it. It's Galatians chapter 3. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says something that I don't know if I have the nerve to say. I mean, he actually begins in verse 1, he says, are you guys so foolish? Like, who bewitched you? Who messed with your thinking? Here's what he says, ready? Galatians 3, verse 3, watch. Having begun in the Spirit, you are now trying to be perfected or mature, are you ready? In the flesh. Let me get this right. You started off in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, that's right. But as time went on, you begin to gravitate back to the strength and the power of your own flesh. Now, gang, it's bad to not know of the power and the presence of the Spirit and then get a baptism with them. But it's a whole lot worse to have begun in the power and the presence of the Spirit, and then over time, you begin to drift into a kind of a lifestyle where you no longer require the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit operative in your life. And this, my friends, is where a lot of churches and a lot of denominations are. Why are so many denominations dying? Why are so many of our schools dying? Why are we becoming liberal? Why are we losing so many young people out of the church? Why is that happening? I'll tell you why. Because at one time, many of these systems, many of these denominations, denomination, many of these churches functioned in the power of the Holy Spirit when they were birthed at their genesis, but over time, they started drifting to the arm of flesh, and they lost their companionship and intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Why are churches dying across America? Why are people leaving Christianity? Why are the average church in America right now plateaued at 75 and even declining? Why? I'll tell you. Because at one time, we started in the power of the Spirit, but now we're trying to function in the power of the flesh. And flesh is never any match to do what God can do in the power of the Spirit. This is my burden right here. This is it right here. If you want to know what keeps me up at night, it's this right here. It's the fact that I go into churches that for all practical purposes do everything that is right except for one thing. They're missing the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing all of the right songs, we do the offering, we do the choir, we do everything. Everything's done nice, everything's done wonderful. It's just there's no weighty presence of God's glory in the mix. We sing about Him, we talk about Him, we preach about Him, but there's no weighty presence and there's no transformational power of the Holy Ghost evident in the service. No one's really being healed, set free from oppression. People come to church and leave the same way they came, and I think that's a tragedy. If young people and people in this tabernacle can come into the weighty presence of God's glory, I promise you, you will not be the same when you leave. But something is drastically wrong that people can enter into a church and not be changed by the power of God.
Amen.
Something's wrong. I think we need to turn up the heat, man. We hear a lot about making seekers comfortable. I think we need to make seekers hot. I think we need to turn up the heat. I think seekers need to have an encounter with the presence of God's glory.
Amen.
And they will get born again.
Amen.
It's sobering. We were talking before the service, Cindy and I and Brother Ed, we were like, what? Can you even identify major revivals? Hardly anymore. It's like, we don't even talk about them. But most of them have died off. And here's the problem, see, is you have to understand that Holy Spirit can never be put within a wineskin. What do I mean by that? You can't build a paradigm around the Holy Spirit. You can't lock Him into a system. Holy Spirit refuses to operate in a box.
Amen.
And so when a revival happens and the outpouring of God's Spirit is genuine and legit, the recipients of that move become, quote unquote, the experts of how the Holy Spirit is moving. And when the Holy Spirit begins to move in a different way, they reject the very thing that they once wanted. It's because the wineskin of the Holy Spirit is now moving in a way that is stretching the original wineskin, and sometimes people shut out the very thing that they want. How many times are we going to stand around and whine in church that things aren't done the way they used to be done? Ladies and gentlemen, who gives a rip, man, how things are done? Whether we sit, stand, sing worship, sing on a screen or with a book or sing polka, it doesn't matter. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit, and all of that stuff is immaterial. I've been in churches where the glory's been thick as we worship with hymns. I've been in services where the glory is thick and we sang a cappella. It makes no difference. You don't need a band, you don't need a dude with a guitar. You don't need anything. You need the weighty presence of God's glory.
Yeah.
It supersedes everything.
Amen.
They had no problems worshiping in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 when the glory filled the temple. All 120 of them blew the trumpets and they all sang in unison, "The Lord is good!"
Amen.
Let the glory come.
Amen.
And we'll all worship.
Amen.
Come on, guys. Let's make making sense? My heart's burning, man. It is. I'm just a boy desperate for the glory. We're just traveling the nation trying to awaken churches to the necessity of purity and power in the local church and in the community, man. We've got to have it, gang. We've got to have it. I ran this quote off by A.W. Tozer. You ever heard that name?
Yeah.
Listen to what Tozer wrote. I wish I had this on the screen. It doesn't matter. Ready? Now listen to this. He says, the essence of true Christianity is spontaneity. Now he's going to define spontaneity, because in our vernacular, that means like just kind of winging it. That's not what he's talking about. Now listen, let him define it here. Tozer says, the essence of true Christianity is spontaneity. Now here's what he said. Here's how he defines spontaneity. The sovereign movings of the Holy Spirit upon and in the free spirit of redeemed people. So in other words, Tozer says that true Christianity is when the flow of God's Holy Spirit moves into a service and it's like a river.
Amen, yes.
Guys, ever been in a service where you lose track of time, you lose sight of who's around, you kind of lose sight of the aesthetics, and you find yourself enamored by the weighty presence of God's glory, and nothing else matters.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what he's talking about. The sovereign moving of the Holy Spirit to where we become enamored. I want to tell you something. If the glory fell in this tabernacle, these kids, pizza would not be on their mind. I
Amen.
Promise you what would be on their mind is having an encounter with the weighty presence of
Amen.
God's glory.
Yes. Yes.
While we're on a rant, let me just tell you, our young children need to experience the weighty presence of God's glory. I've laid hands on children and seen the power of the Holy Spirit baptize children 4, 5, and 6 years old. I've seen the weighty presence of God's glory come on them. Listen, if John the Baptist could be filled with the Holy Ghost in his mama's womb, why don't we lay hands on our children and ask the Holy Spirit to baptize them?
Amen. Amen.
Let these little kids right here. Peter said in Acts 2:17, when the Spirit's poured out in the last days, sons and daughters will prophesy. I've actually been in a service where children took the mic and began to speak prophetically. The essence, he said, now listen, of true Christianity is spontaneity. The sovereign movings of the Holy Spirit upon free spirit and of redeemed people. This has been, he says, through the years of human history, this has been the hallmark of spiritual excellency, the evidence of reality in a world of unreality. He goes on, are you ready? When Christianity loses its sovereign character and becomes mere form, this spontaneity is lost also, and in its place comes precedent, propriety, system. The belief that spirituality can be organized. Are you ready?
Yes.
Then is introduced into it things that never belong there. Numbers, statistics, the law of averages, and other such natural and human things, and creeping death always follows.
Amen.
Tozer said the average church could continue to function for months without the Holy Spirit, and they would never know the difference.
Right. Yep.
I like a joke. You know how we create service formats and bulletins? It's our agenda, so we know what to do in case the presence doesn't show up.
Wow.
Yeah, I know it's quiet in here. The Quakers used just to gather, and they would just wait. You know why they called them the Quakers? Because they would just wait. They wouldn't do anything until the Holy Spirit told them. When the Holy Spirit began to come into the room, they began to shake. I've been in the services where the conviction of God was so heavy, people would literally shake. I've seen the glory so thick that people either run to the altar or they run out of the tabernacle because the glory is so heavy, they're not going to remain the same in the presence of God's glory.
Amen.
These kids have got to see this. You have got to see this. Adults, listen, I'm not talking about some nostalgic thing back yonder. I'm talking about something now that has to happen in your generation and mine and in these. We've got to have the weighty presence of God's glory or we're a dying breed.
Amen.
Come on, someone's got to help me. You guys hear me tonight?
Amen.
We cannot have dead, stale formalism.
No.
You know what religion is, don't you? It's simply Christianity void of the Spirit. You know what really scares me? It's Paul's prophetic words in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, when he said this, having a form of godliness.
Yes.
You guys remember this? What did Paul say? Perilous times are coming in the last days. Verse 1, he identifies characteristics. But then Paul says, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, talking to Paul at the church in Ephesus, about believers, mind you. Ready? Verse 5, having a form of godliness. The word form is morphe, it's the structure. Having a structure of godliness. What's that mean? That means everything's done in appearance that looks godly. You have a group of people that probably don't smoke, drink, or dance. They look clean. They wear what they should wear. You know, they're just wholesome, good old-fashioned people. Yay.
Yeah.
However, something's missing.
Amen.
Even though they have a form of godliness and they don't cuss during, you know, sports games. And you know, they're the kind of people, man, let's put them on our board. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just simply saying, watch. Paul says, a form of godliness, but something's wrong. What's wrong? Ready? They deny its power. And what is the power? That's dunamis. That's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what was promised in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when we were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said we would receive dunamis, power. There's no way you can have power and nobody know it.
Amen.
Now watch. Paul says the day is coming when there'll be a structure of godliness. So we'll do everything that's right. It'll look right. It'll smell right. The appearance of it will be right. However, the constituency of that body, Paul says, will deny godliness of its power. You know what the word deny is? It's an interesting word translated to disavow or break union with something you once were in covenant with. You can't break or disavow something you're not in a relationship with. If I disavow my relationship with my wife, it's only possible because we're in a covenant relationship. Here's what Paul is saying, that there's going to be believers in the last days who at one time operated in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. However, over time, they chose to have a structure of godliness, but they denied, they disavowed, they broke covenant with the congruency of the Holy Spirit. And they became formed without power. And that's religion. How many churches are formed without power? And I don't mean to be mean, but how many times do we gather on a Sunday morning expecting somebody to get healed, set free, delivered from demonic bondage? How many miracles are we seeing? How many people are we seeing getting out of wheelchairs? How many people are we seeing really touched by the power and the glory of God's Holy Spirit? Well, Rob, it's not about that stuff. Try to convince me that from the scripture. You can't find anywhere where the gospel was preached in the New Testament where you don't see accompanying signs with it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's part and parcel. The gospel, the true gospel of the Bible, is a gospel of power.
Amen.
And that's the functionality of the Holy Spirit. Can I, by the way, with you in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul goes on to say, this is very interesting, Paul goes on to talk about Jannes and Jambres. Who are Jannes and Jambres? You know what's interesting? Jannes and Jambres were the two sorcerers who showed up in the courts of Pharaoh when Moses came and said, hey, let my people go. And Moses began to demonstrate the authentic power of God in the courts of Pharaoh. Jannes and Jambres were the two sorcerers who, through witchcraft and divination, tried to counterfeit the miracles and the power of God. And here's what Paul is saying. If we throw out the power of the Holy Spirit, we're simultaneously welcoming the power of the enemy right in our church.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, we got churches right now, man. Holy Spirit is not moving, but I'll tell you what is moving. The power of darkness, man. We have Jezebelian spirits. We have contention. We have stress. We have gossip. We have manipulation. We have all kinds of counterfeit things happening. People are in bondage and not walking in freedom. Why? Because we've thrown the power of the Holy Spirit out and we've allowed the power of the enemy to be operative in our churches. Let me just say it this way. Every one of us in this tabernacle will function with power. The question is, what is the source? There's no neutrality. We're either being influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit or we're being influenced by the power of darkness. There's not a neutral ground. I don't buy that. Well, then guess what? I didn't say you were possessed. Influence. Ephesians 2:2. Let me do one more, by the way, on 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul talks about people who are always learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. You'll never gain revelation outside of the Holy Spirit. You'll keep studying and reading and studying and reading and studying and reading, but it will never satisfy. The only thing that will satisfy in the deep heart of hearts is the revelatory power of the Holy Spirit that begins to give you things that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, things eye has not seen, ear has not heard, heart has not fathomed, verse 10, but His Spirit is making them manifest, the deep things of God to those who are in the Spirit. I know this is a strong message. This may be the last time I ever get to speak. I don't preach for comebacks. It's not my heart to be abrasive. It's not my heart to be, you know, callous. You have no idea. My heart breaks when I look at movements, churches, denominations across the nation. Folks, I'm going to say this as gently as I know how. We need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Amen.
Amen.
We cannot be like the Galatians, who started off in the Spirit, but over time gravitate into the flesh. Part of the problem is, in this culture, we're so saturated with everything. There's probably people in this tabernacle right now, you're on your phone. The thing is your attention span is real short. It's like we're like people that just, you know, we've got so much in our culture that saturates us and so much that just mesmerizes, so much that grabs our attention. And so the idea of living with a hunger and a passion and a desperation for the Holy Spirit is foreign to so many people. I go into churches and I'll say to people who've been, quote, saved and sanctified, who wants a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they look at me like I have a horn coming out of my head. Contrast that with a man who was a spirit-filled believer, 93 years old. I met the dude shorter than me, if you can believe it, in Arkansas, and the man was 93 years old, on fire for God. And I said, who wants a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit? And the old dude ran up front. I want a fresh baptism. I was like, man, dude, how long have you been walking with God? The guy tells me, oh, 75 years. I said, you got to be kidding me. 75 years. Are you still hungry for the presence of God? He says, I can't get enough.
Amen.
How many in this tabernacle have a desire just like that to say, I can't get enough of the Holy Spirit. Give me more. Go to Ephesians 5. Look at verse, we'll start with verse 15. Look what Paul says. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Ready? Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Here's what Paul says. Little wonder that he writes this. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Paul says, therefore, be careful. Take watch how you walk. What a statement. I'd love to be able to say with the anointing that he had to you tonight, church, kids, adults, grandma and grandpa, listen to me. Be careful how you walk.
Amen.
Come on, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you steward the presence. Be careful. Be careful how you walk, man. Be careful how you walk.
Amen.
Kids, be careful. Telling you, man, be careful. Be careful. Not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 16, making the most, actually redeeming. I love that. Redeeming of your time. It live in such a way that wherever you go, it's restorative. It's just a fascinating concept. Anyway, your life is redemptive. Wherever you go, You're like restoring things. Making the most of your time. Why? Because the days are evil. Verse 17. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, what is the will of the Lord? He's going to tell you. You've always said, I just want to know God's will for my life. I got it right here. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Here it is. Everyone listen. Here's the will of the Lord for you. Do not get drunk
Amen.
With wine.
Amen.
For that is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Do not get drunk with wine. Why on earth would Paul ever bring up a subject matter of being drunk with wine in the same context of being filled with the Spirit? Understand the culture that he was in was steeped in that kind of activity.
Yes.
But to bring it home even closer, I grew up with an uncle. My dad had, there were 11 in his family. We had 5 girls and 6 guys. And one of the brothers, the youngest, and I maybe was 8 years old when this started happening. 8 years old, I still remember. 8 or 9 years old. My uncle, he just started drinking. It was just casual. A couple of 2 or 3 drinks maybe a week. That was it. Just a couple of drinks. Take the pressure off, he said. Just take the pressure off. A couple of drinks. A couple of drinks. That's all. Just take the pressure off. That's what he kept saying. Just go take the edge off. Just the pressure. Just so much pressure. Well, those couple of drinks begin to progress to where it was 4 or 5 drinks a week. And then it got to the place where he actually started drinking every single day. Well, then that began to increase until he actually started drinking in the mornings and then at night every single day. And then it got to the place, kid you not, we started drinking in the mornings, the afternoons, and the evenings, and before he went to bed, every single day, until I remember as a little boy, my daddy saying, he lives on the bottle. And when he would come to our house, he'd come to our house. His language was slurred, if you will. It was motivated. It was controlled by. It was influenced by alcohol. You could hear as he would talk. And when he would leave our kitchen, for about an hour after he left, our kitchen would reek with the smell of alcohol. You know why? Because he drank so much. When he would sweat, alcohol would literally just come out of his skin.
Amen.
And you could smell alcohol on him. He drank himself to death.
Amen.
Well, that sounds morbid. I know, but that's Paul's illustration. Now watch this. Do not get drunk with wine. Don't be a drunkard and under the influence of wine. Are you ready? But here's the will of God for you. Be filled with
Amen.
The Spirit. Do you know how you translate the word filled? It's a present tense verb, meruah, that literally means, are you ready? Filling. Some expositors quoting 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, that says we were all made to drink of one Spirit, say what Paul is saying in Ephesians 5:18 is don't be drinking wine, but be drinking the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, but wait a minute. The days are evil, man. Walk as wise people. The will of God is not to have a little drink during a service and lift your hands and yay, wasn't that a good service? No. To live a life of perpetually drinking in the Holy Spirit until you drink in the morning and you drink in the afternoon and you drink in the evening and you drink before you go to bed and you get up the next morning and you keep drinking in the Holy Spirit until everything about your life is influenced by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You walk into a store and when you leave, the store begins to reek like the presence of God because you walked in there and the Holy Spirit is oozing off your skin. You start speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere you go is literally led by, directed by, influenced by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That, my friends, is New Testament Christianity. And let me tell you, that's how in the book of Acts, Josephus, the historian, said that in 70 years, that band of followers of Jesus Christ influenced over 1 million people for Christ.
Amen.
How many people are we going to influence? It's not a scale, a comparison. I'm just saying, I want you to live intoxicated with, under the influence with. I want you to live every single day drinking in the Holy Spirit. How hungry are you? Seriously. And I know it's not about filling an altar, but I don't know how to say this, gang. How many tonight just are like desperate to say, I don't know about anybody else. I don't care about anyone else right now. I want a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want an increase. I want the carrying capacity of my heart to be of such that I carry a greater level of God's anointing. You know what I find fascinating? Peter was so filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 5, verse 15, that he walked by someone and his shadow literally healed someone, man. When was the last time you went to Starbucks and you were standing there and the presence of God was on you so thick it got on other people and they fell to the ground and started crying out in repentance because you walked in there with the power of God on you? Finney did. Charles G. Finney walked into a factory in Utica, New York to invite the guy who was the owner of a cotton factory to come to a meeting that he was preaching that night. And the moment Finney walked into the factory in Utica, New York, the power and the presence of God was so thick on Charles G. Finney that men started kneeling down and weeping because of the glory that was on Finney. And they had to shut the factory down and revival began in a factory because one man walked in there in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Lord.
Come on, man. I think about that every time I go into Walmart, and my mind is, God, I dare you to use me as I walk in here, man. I want to walk between some aisles, man, and I want to see the power of God get on people, man. I just want to see it flow. Airports, it doesn't matter, man. I want the glory of God to get all over people.
Amen. Yes.
I want the environment to reek like heaven.
Amen.
How about you? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for transformation? Not just a feel-good service. I'm talking about the glory. If you're hungry, I mean really desperate. Young people, if you're really hungry for this, if you're willing to say, you know what, I want to be so filled. The days are evil, man. But who of you are going to walk in the glory of God? Who are you going to start laying hands on? You know the Bible says you can do? Lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. And that doesn't sound, listen, that can happen. I know people who've raised the dead. I want to see you kids walk in the power of God's glory. I want to see you walk under the anointing, man. I want to see adults, moms and dads. I want to see grandparents, 80, 90 years old, have fresh baptisms of the Holy Spirit and move in miracles, signs and wonders. I want to see the power of God fall in this place and in your churches and wherever you go.
Yeah.
Are you hungry for it? Come on, man. See, I know what's happening right now. Some of you are saying, well, I want that. Others are, I'm not too sure. Well, I'm speaking to the hungry crowd. Who's hungry for this? Come on, who's hungry for it? If you're really legitimately hungry, I want you to come forward. I'm going to pray over you. Come on, I'm going to pray a fresh baptism of Holy Spirit on you. Come on, man. Come on, if you're hungry. Truly, I say this, if you're not hungry, it's okay. Just don't come. I want Holy Spirit, man. I want to be a glory seeker. That's what someone once accused me of, just a glory seeker. And I said, well, that's actually a pretty good reputation. Come on, man, if you're hungry. I love this. I love this. I'm going to tell you why. Holy Spirit's taking you for real. If you're up here and you really don't want to be up here, I'd probably go back and sit down. Because the Holy Spirit is going to jack you up. He is, man. You give Him ownership, say, possess me. He will. I had an encounter with the weighty presence of God's glory that totally has wrecked my life to this day. I was desperate. Either I have God's glory or I'm getting out of ministry. I encountered the weighty presence of God's glory for 3 days. It was unbelievable. I was already born again, I was already sanctified, but I'd never experienced the presence of God's glory like this. And in the right sense, you know what it did? It ruined me. Because I'm not satisfied. Because I want more. I want to arrange my life in such a way that I have more. Young people, you truly get on fire for the Holy Spirit. You'll be a world changer. We need you, dude. We need young people that fear nothing but God. We really do. Seniors, I don't think there's anyone here in their 90s. We need you to cry out for God. Never buy the lie. You're too old to make a difference. Don't ever buy that lie. There's a sleeping giant in our church, and it's called the senior adult. If you guys ever get on fire for the Holy Spirit, it's going to be dangerous. I told you about my mama, who was 88 years old, still laying hands on people and seeing miracles. She's still functioning in words of knowledge, Ron. She would go to people in services when I'd take her, man, hobble over with her cane, down on her knees, and say, I believe God told me your left ankle's hurting. And the person would start to cry, and they'd go, how do you know? Because I believe God told me, and I believe God wants to heal it. That's how my mom was flowing, man. Words of knowledge. How does that stuff happen? What happens when you're in the Spirit?
You guys understand, it's not a feeling. It's not. You don't come out here, well, I didn't feel anything. What? Nowhere in the scriptures do I read, be baptized with a feeling. That's not it, man. It's you yielding your heart. It's you yielding your life. It's you, young people, what you're just saying, listen, I just totally consecrate my life and say, jam your hand in me like a glove, Holy Spirit, and use me. Speak through me. Anywhere and everywhere I go, flow out of me. The feeling may or may not come. I don't give a rip about that. It's your yieldedness. It's your cooperation with. It's you constantly yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit and saying, here I am. Use me. Every day. Every day. If it's okay with you, would you mind putting your hands in a posture like this? And would you, in your own words, before I pray for you, your own prayer, just say, Father, I want a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit. Come on, young people, ask for it. Come on. Come on, just lift your voice. Come on, I want a fresh baptism. I want a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on, don't be ashamed to pray that. Come on, God, give me a fresh touch. Come on, a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit, come in this room right now. Come on, increase your presence right now, God, in this place. Come on, God, right now, sweep through this place, God, right now. Right now, God, a fresh baptism. A fresh baptism, God. There are some people standing here, God, they are so hungry for deeper encounters with your Holy Spirit. God, move on them. Come on, God. Give them encounters in the midnight hour. Give them prophetic dreams and revelation, God. Give my sister, oh God, Bethany, give her encounters with your Holy Spirit. Prophetic dreams, wisdom, miracles, God, through her hands, God, of healing, God. I pray, God, that you would move, God, through those who are hungry and desperate, oh God, that say, I've got to have more. I've got to have more. Come on, God, fall on these kids, these young people. May their desires be, God, replenished and, God, placed into congruency with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for these children, God, who stand here, God. Baptize these children in the Holy Spirit. Come on, God, place your Holy Spirit on them. I pray that they would move at a young age now in signs, miracles, and wonders. May that stuff not be foreign to them, oh God. May they move in the power of the Spirit. May they begin to have night dreams, prophetic revelations, God. May they begin to see things in the spirit realm, Father. I pray, God, that we as adults wouldn't dumb it down, but we would begin to listen to what our children have, God. Fall, God, on these young people. Fall on these children that are standing here, oh God. Touch these children right now. That baby, God, in mama's arms, God. Touch these kids in the power of your Holy Spirit. Come on, God, move. Fresh baptism. Increase our capacity, God, to drink in even more. Increase our desire, God, to live every day in the flow of the Spirit. Make God, make us have an insatiable desire for more. More of your Spirit, oh God, more. We just can't get enough, oh God. We can't get enough. Come on, God, we just can't get enough. Let me scoot through here. Yeah, God. Bless my brother, God. Come on, more. More, oh God, more. More, just more, God, more. Come on, God, you've been ministering to him this week. You've been doing great things to him, God. There's so much more you want to do through him, God. Come on. More, God, fresh. Fresh out for you, God. Fresh baptism. Fresh anointing, God. Increase our hunger. Come on, God. Increase our hunger, oh God. Come on. Come on, God. Healing hands. Right here. Healing hands, God. Healing hands, God. Healing hands. Come on. Revelatory dreams. Prophetic insight, oh God. Words of knowledge. Come on, oh God. Move, God. Move. Come on, son. Here we go. More, God. More. More, God. More. Awaken, God, these young people. Awaken their senses to the things of the Spirit, oh God. Begin to fine-tune, God, their senses to the things of the Spirit. I'm praying that when these young people read the Word will read them. I'm praying when they get into the Scriptures will get into them. I pray, oh God, that they'll start to have encounters with your Holy Holy Spirit. Come on, God, give these young people an encounter. Unforgettable encounter. When Saul had an encounter in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, he never forgot it. It became an anchor point, God, and a testimony. I'm praying that these young people have encounters with your Holy Spirit, which they'll never forget. Come on, God. God, I ask you to do to these young people what you did to me 12 years ago. Come on, God. Let the weighty presence of your glory rest on them. Come on, God. Move powerfully. Powerfully, God. May they never be satisfied for anything less. Never be satisfied for anything less. Come on, God. Put a burn in their belly. A passion, a hunger. God, I love these young kids. I love seeing them standing up here. Come on, God. Burn. 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 Burn their belly, oh God, with an insatiable desire. I pray, God, that these young people would consecrate their lives to you, that you would use them, God, across the nation and nations. Give them nations, oh God. Give them nations, oh God. Let these young people step on the soil of various nations, God, and begin to say, God, give me these nations. Come on, give me these nations, oh God. Pour out, oh God, pour out. Come on, God, I pray. I pray that we can start dreaming dreams that match the capacity of our God. Come on, God-given dreams. And we'll delight ourselves in you. Psalm 37:4, and you will give us the desires of our heart, God. Pour out increase, oh God. Increase, oh God. I pray for Brother Ed, oh God. Increase, God. Increase, God. The things that he desires for, the things that he hungers, the things that he's cried out for, God. In the midnight hour when no one's known. Increase, oh God. Increase, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. More, God, we're wrong. More. More. I know he's retired, but in the spirit realm, he's refired. Come on, God. There's things you want to do through him, God. There's things you want to do. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. Thank you. I think these children, God, I think in Matthew 21, it says the children perfect the praise, the prophetic picture of children dancing in the temple and shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Let these children, God, begin to experience the atmosphere of heaven played out, God, here on earth. Come on, children are not inhibited by religion usually. So God, let these children begin to move and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit rest on them, God, more. Come on, God, more. Let these kids, God, start to have revelatory dreams, prophetic visions. Come on, God. Begin to show them things in the Spirit. Come on. Show them. May the children be the ones that lead the way. They lay hands on the sick. As the children say, come on, Daddy, I want to pray for that person. Mommy, I want to pray for that person. And I pray, God, that it would be the children seeing the miracles, God. A missionary friend of mine who's in a remote part of Africa right now says most of the miracles that we're seeing are through 7 and 8 year olds. So God, I pray that children would lead the way. Come on, God. Children would lead the way. Children would lead the way. Children would lead the way. Children would lead the way, oh God. Come on, Holy Spirit, rest. May the carrying capacity of all these people standing here, God, I can't get to all these people, nor do I need to lay hands on them all. I just simply say, God, let the carrying capacity rest on them. Revelatory dreams. All I'm saying is keep a notebook close to your bed, because God's going to start to give you prophetic dreams. You understand what I'm saying? Write them down. Pay attention to what he wants to say to you. Say it says to you in the midnight hour. Does that make sense? Just write it down. Speaks to you. You know it. You hear him. Maybe not audibly, but you know he speaks to you. Does that make sense? Father, I pray that you'd use every one of these people to release your presence wherever they go. Every one of these people remind them that they host your presence. Everywhere they go, they host your presence. Everywhere they go, God, they're never without you. And when they realize, God, that they can live with a greater awareness of your presence than anything else around them, then they start to live with a kingdom mindset. And God, they're able to release what they're most aware of. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. I pray that these people, just like that, would say, I may not be loaded right now, but I know this much, I carry something that I can give away that will change your life forever. Come on, God, let us give away the Holy Spirit everywhere we go. Come on, God, increase our carrying capacity. More, God, more. Fire. 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 Fire, oh God, we summon the fire. Come on, God, you know my prayer tonight. I ask, oh God, extraordinary encounters with the Holy Spirit, unforgettable. I'm asking that even tonight, that you get awakened by the presence of God, and Jesus wants to have a rendezvous with you. And you'll sneak out and have a love affair with Jesus. Come on, man. Move, God, move powerfully. Awaken our ears so that we hear the subtle promptings of the Holy Spirit. Awaken our senses, God. Don't let us dumb down what we're sensing or what's being prompted on us, God. Don't let us dumb that down. Let us move in rhythm with your Spirit. I pray, God, that every one of these people would impart what they're receiving even now to those around them, God. They would learn to give it to their children and grandchildren. They would learn to lay hands, God, on people around them and give it away. Increase, oh God, our hunger. Come on. Yeah. It's all over you, man. Come on. Come on. It's all over you. You want this kind of stuff. I know you do. Come on, God. Just like we were talking about words and knowledge. Come on, God. Make him a marketplace minister. It carries your presence with a greater velocity than he ever has, God. That's what he's always decided. Let him begin to have words of knowledge about people, situations, God, that are so crystal clear. And let him step out in a boldness that he's never had before. He's watched others and said, isn't that something? But now let him begin to move in that. Come on. Let him begin to move in that right now. In Jesus' name. Move in that kind of rhythm with your Spirit. Come on, man. Thank you. Thank you, Father. You're so good. Empower them. Flow through them. Come on, children. Begin to pray for each other. God, we pray. Use them. Use them in the store. Use them in the marketplace. Use them in church. Use them in the streets. Use them in the neighborhood. Come on. Use them, oh God. That's it. Come on, church. Pray for each other. Use us, God. Use us, oh God. Everywhere we go. On these campgrounds, in the community, God, I pray when we go back to the church, we'll impart what we've received to everyone around us, oh God. We'll just give away Jesus. Come on, we'll just give away Jesus. Come on, God, we carry your presence, God. We carry your presence. Alright, come on, agree with me right now. Father, release your healing. Right now, release your healing on bodies right now. Come on, God, we rebuke right now fibromyalgia. We rebuke, God, cancer. We rebuke, oh God, arthritis, neck pain, knee pain, joint pain, God. Now, in the name of Jesus, we pray the joints begin to move, God, and with God, with ease, God. Back pain right now, neck pain, jaw pain, pain, God, around the teeth, God, area, TMJ, gone in Jesus' name. Sleeping disorders right now, God. High blood pressure, gone right now in Jesus' name. Diabetes, gone right now in Jesus' name. Gone right now, God. Heal. Release, oh God, right now. Right now, oh God. Stomach issues, ulcers, God, right now in Jesus' name. Migraines, right now, God. Migraines, gone in Jesus' name right now, God. Skin issues, gone in Jesus' name. Like I'm thinking like even psoriasis, gone in Jesus' name. Gone. Gone. Right now, gone. In Jesus' name. Come on, God, we carry your presence, God. We carry your anointing. I pray that we as the instruments that host your anointing, God, would not be instruments themselves that are destroyed, oh God, by the effects of sin. So heal, God, our bodies, which are the temples of the Holy Spirit, God. Right now, in Jesus' name, may we be healthy instruments, God, that operate, God, in the anointing. Heal our bodies. They're instruments. They're instruments, God. Romans 6:13, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Heart issues. I just heard that right now. Heart issues. Even things like with rhythm, that gets out of rhythm. Right now, God, touch that in Jesus' name. Lungs, right now. Issues with breathing. Asthma. Gone in Jesus' name. Yes, God. Eyesight, hearing, ringing in the ear. Gone in Jesus' name. Tendonitis. Gone. Now, one last thing, and I want you to begin to pray this for one another, that every day, continually, they're going to be filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Come on, begin to pray that for each other. Come on. Every day, continually, come on, joy and the Holy Spirit. Joy and the Holy Spirit. Come on, God, it ain't going to stop. Joy and the Holy Spirit, God. More joy and the Holy Spirit. Joy and the Holy Spirit. Every place we go is going to reek like heaven. Praise God. I feel real impressed right now. Brother Ed, if you'd come up on the platform and you would seal the service tonight in the Holy Spirit. Just stay right here if you would. Brother Ed, just close this out if you would.
Heavenly Father, as you appoint your Spirit on your people, you told us, Lord, if we would ask, your good Father, you would give the Spirit to just ask. And Lord, we have asked. And Father, we have prayed for your anointing. We believe, Lord, that you give your anointing to your people. Because, Lord, you desire us to have it. Now, Father, may we walk in the Spirit. May we not fulfill the desires of the flesh, Lord, but may the Spirit be in each life, Lord. May we walk with power and anointing. May we live lives of holiness and righteousness before you. And Father, may we proclaim the kingdom of God. Father, we pray that lives will be touched, and that through our lives and the Spirit working in us and in the churches that we come from, it would be added to our numbers daily, those that have been saved, Lord. We want to see a revival and a movement, Lord, of your Spirit that draws people to you, Lord. May it be so, Lord. May we see fruit, and may we see, Lord, those those being added. And Lord, we do ask that it would be daily.
Yes.
And Father, we just pray your Holy Spirit would continue to work in us, continue to make us hungry, continue to allow us to go deeper. And Father, may we walk now in the power of the Spirit, and may we not turn back. May we just continually to move forwards, Lord, so that we might work for the sake of your kingdom, and that Jesus Christ might be glorified in us, Lord, and that you might be glorified through your church. And we pray, Lord, in the name of Christ. Amen.